we always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
Something I've found in life is that everyone eventually settles on a passion. Whether it's a profession or hobby, lifelong or found, people seem to find something they click with. I've had a childhood friend that adored trains grow up to become a conductor, and I've seen family friends in their 40s trying woodwork for the first time in their life and getting hooked. For me, I knew my passion since I was a teen. For the longest time, I've been heavy into astronomy. No, not reading horoscopes. I love to observe the night sky. I wouldn't say I'm as detail-oriented as some of the more deeper enthusiasts, or as planned out as the professionals. I mostly pick and choose what I'd want to observe for a period, and make handwritten notes on what I'd find. I splashed out on one of the best home compound telescopes I could afford. It cost a pretty penny, but going from a cheap refractoscope to this one was the difference between night and day, no pun intended. I have an entire bookshelf full of old journals dating back the many years I've been doing this. Some as far back as when I was a teen, in the garden with my dad's binoculars. Notes of the various constellations I've come to admire, my favourite being the Vasa constellation, genitive Varinae. It's a beautiful set of stars with a number of smaller constellations that made up the formation of a powerful light tower. When I wasn't looking at the stars, I enjoyed appreciating the cycles of the moon. And this is where the mess began. I was documenting the moon cycle, something I kept up with on nights when the stars were less visible. The sky was circling with clouds, so I focused on the beaming full moon above. It was beautiful. I took notes of the position, size, and other bits of data I felt important, yet something was annoyingly off. On the left edge of the moon, there was a slight blurred taper. No amount of adjusting my settings seemed to fix it. I feared the lens was out, or the scope's mirror was displaced. I was hoping it was a one-off, but each day, it got worse. Every time I looked at the stars, all would be fine. But every time I looked at the moon, the same blemish was there, marring an otherwise beautiful scene. I cleaned the lens, checked the cap, readjusted every setting, yet nothing would alter the strange shade on the left edge of the moon's side. And each day, it seemed to get more noticeable. Part of me worried it was the brightness of the moon during bright nights. These machines are very sensitive, and the slightest thing can damage the many delicate parts that make these compound telescopes so special. My hope was that after a few days, when the waxing gibber started, it would help alleviate this, and make the blemish disappear. It didn't. By the time the waxing gibbers hit, there was almost a complete second circle of shadow on the lens. I was baffled. Since I'd exhausted all the possibilities of fixing it myself, referring to the manual I thankfully still kept and finding no solution, I took to the internet to see if there was something I hadn't tried yet. However, every thread I found didn't come close to what I was experiencing. My heart was broken. This telescope was a hefty purchase, bought under the principle of buy good and buy for life. I overpaid more than I can afford, under the impression that I'd never have to make the expense again. So, I couldn't give up. I took to trying to dig into more specific sites, and find more knowledgeable people. Luckily, it seemed the answer was right under my nose. When I checked the FAQ on the telescope's manufacturer's site, I found there was a tab to a forum that took you straight to a login or sign-up page. It seemed it was private, unless you were a member, and you had to have a serial code of one of their products to join. Luckily, I kept everything from purchase, so I managed to dig it out and sign up. It seemed to be a small forum for enthusiasts to intermingle, and when I say enthusiasts, they were heavy into the topic. There were sections for shared notes, threads dedicated to specific product settings, even one for field meat. I expected nothing less, with so many barriers of entry to get in. As soon as I made it to the main board, I saw there were already threads scattered with the same questions that I had, along with a master post. Each individual post was of people lamenting about the stain on their view, and the master post was an official admin addressing the situation. All it summed up to was that the company was aware of the issue, and that it only seemed to affect the higher-end compound telescopes. They apologised and stated that they were doing all they could to look into it. It was saddening to hear that there was a genuine issue, but I felt validated knowing I wasn't going crazy, and it wasn't just me. All I had was the satisfaction that they were aware of it, and that something was being done. My final thought to that night was of hope that things would return to a sense of normalcy. It didn't. After the waxing crescent, the new moon began. A time when the moon goes to sleep, as I like to say as a kid. This is often the time I either took a break or take my eyes to the stars, since you can't see the moon during this time. I peeked through the viewfinder just to see if it was focused correctly, not realizing it was dialed to the region where the moon was supposed to be. In the absence of the moon, there was a strange round blur. At first, I thought it was the absence of stars that is sometimes used to spot the new moon, since that's the only way a hobbyist can catch the new moon. However, this seemed different. There was a strange quality to it, and a strange familiarity. I gasped when I realized it was the strange shade I'd seen before, this time seen without the accompaniment of the moon. After this, I started tracking this strange blur more seriously. I noted its whereabouts and general description of my interpretations. At this point, it looked like a barely opaque black disk in the sky, very small and very faint. It was the size of the moon at a far distance and was not visible to the naked eye. By then, I hoped to God this was an error with the telescope. The moon's visage burned into the mirrors of the scope, perhaps a marring of the lens's surface maybe, because I started to worry about the implications if this strange disk was real. By the time the waning crescent began, my fears started to set in. The dark blur was almost the full moon's length away from my perspective. Others still talking about it online mentioned the same thing, and tension was building amongst those of us that were invested. Though that was a small number, since with others to the forum with different models, we just looked crazy. The few of us talking about it were divided. Some were adamant it was what was announced, a manufacturing error. They demanded reparations from the company, both for the disappointments from the bad investment of the product and the lost investment of time. Some people lamented that the documented streaks had been ruined due to the inconvenience, myself included. For some people, years of serious work were in jeopardy, asking for a temporary replacement while they waited for a solution. Others were raving about old gods, forgotten prophecies, and apocalyptic doom. I just wanted my hobby back. I started getting in contact with some people to ask about their experiences. Though we all mentioned it, no one talked about specifics publicly for fear of looking loony in front of people who would not notice this strange phenomenon. I met some genuinely nice people this way, instantly bonding over our shared passion for the night sky. The first person I met was Christian. He was very much the most level-headed of the bunch, often the voice of rationale and reason. He seemed to be taking the whole thing in stride, rationalizing it as an issue with the way compound telescopes' lenses reflect off of a mirror. This would explain why people with reflector or refractoscopes weren't reporting this issue. Something he added that was new to me was that after a long exposure shot he took of the moon, he could see the edges of the shade in the shot, and on its rim, he could see the formings of what looked like cracks, rooting in towards the center. There were other nice people I spoke to in my time there. Then there was Ross. Ross was a bit more vocal about his opinions, and his opinions were a little off. He He blew up the DMs of anyone who mentioned they'd witnessed the orb and left pages of his thoughts and ideas based on his research into strange, unknown topics. Conspiracies that ran off the deep end after only a few words. Sprinkled here and there, he'd add his own thoughts. Feelings of being watched, not feeling safe at night when in the presence of the orb, wanting to look into forgotten sources for any kind of information. As you can imagine, he was very quickly banned from posting on the forum. But he was still able to infiltrate DMs, much to the chagrin of the users. I tried to carry on as normal. I really did. I kept an eye on my favourite constellations. I noted positions and coordinates. However, in the corner of my mind, while checking the moon, I'd catch the orb in my vision, and my mind wandered over all I'd known so far. I started noting its position too, just for fun, along with brief descriptions, like I did with the stars and moon. Each night, it drifted very slowly away from the position of the moon. By the next full moon, the shade was so far away, it almost couldn't be seen when viewing the moon's center frame. There was going to be a point when it'd be completely out of view when looking directly at the moon, and I was looking forward to it. After another week, I got my wish. However, something strange happened. I found myself longing for it. Not in a positive way either. I didn't want to admit it, even in my notes, but I caught myself edging the scope over just to catch a glimpse of it every so often. I got no good feeling from seeing it. In fact, quite the opposite. I'd feel the tingling of dread in the pit of my stomach when it was in view, to which I'd turn away. But I still found myself trying to go back to catch sight of it. I talked to Christian about this, and he seemed to dismiss me about it, taking a jab that I was starting to sound like a second Ross, though the way he worded his response made it seem like he was saying this out of denial more than anything. Judging from the shift in mood on the forum, it seemed we all started to sense the same creeping feeling. Ross, however, didn't even ask. He spoke like he knew we felt it, and he filled our DMs with more pages of his ideas and findings, all of which we ignored. As much as I wanted to deny it, like Christian and the others, the feeling crept its way from my stomach to the corners of my mind. Following the feeling was something a few of us started to notice. The shape was changing ever so slightly. I started to notice the cracks around the edges without the aid of a long exposure photo. It was hard to see unless I focused hard, which seemed to give me feelings of a migraine, but I noticed something like faded capillaries drifting towards the center of the orb, the outline starting to look murky, more distinguishable, a ring like a nebulous halo. As I documented its slow march across the sky, I noticed that over the course of days, as it passed over distant stars, they would be hidden. People on the forum noticed this too, and those without the same telescopes that at first denied this strange event took notice too. Even those without telescopes but a keen knowledge of the stars picked up on missing dots that would otherwise be visible to the naked eye. This is when speculation started flying, and more theories were cast about. An undiscovered planet, a black hole, a spaceship. The sub-community was abuzz. Something even weirder, that those of us with the higher-end compound telescopes and a strong memory of the stars picked up, was that the stars the shade passed over seemed ever so slightly less bright than before. A duller hue. Hard to confirm, but still thrown out by a few of us that noticed. Like a pillar of sanity, the voice of reason chimed in with a post. Christian made a master post referencing all the popular theories and pointing out inconsistencies or counter-evidence stating otherwise. Each theory was explained away to the best of his ability and that the phenomenon will pass. He didn't seem to acknowledge the brightness issue though, but the post got so long and he seemed to focus on the more popular conspiracies. His DMs were blown up on the forum and it was nigh impossible to get through to him after that. So, I turned to his personal Facebook to talk to him from then on. He confirmed that a large portion of his DMs were from the infamous Ross, something of a meme at this point in the community. I asked him about what he was receiving, and when I saw snippets, I realised it was different to what I was getting. Not only was Ross on one of his many maniacal tirades, but he was individually writing these out to everyone. At this point, I bit the bullet and decided to skim over more of what he was sending. What he wrote was absolutely insane. He spoke of ancient texts and carvings, whether it was Mayan, Aztec, or something older, I do not remember. I honestly don't remember any of it, only what I wrote down briefly in my journal. He sent pictures of old statues, old wall carvings with a central eye, casting a beam on a cowering populace. He followed the messages with warnings of being watched. Whether he was talking about me or him, I do not know. I did not pay much attention after that. The more I looked, the more I rolled my eyes. It read more like a chainmail than a serious discussion. I closed out, leaving him on read. I started getting anxious on a personal level when I saw the orb hover over towards my favourite constellation, Vasa. Seeing what it did to other stars, I was scared it had ruined the arrangement that helped kickstart my passion. There were already some dim stars in the region. If they were to dim any more, they wouldn't be visible, even with my compound telescope. There were some people hopeful that the brightness would return to the passed over stars over time, but there was no evidence of that so far. Sadly, it couldn't be stopped. I watched day by day as it edged over to Vasa and slowly covered the main stars in the region. My heart sank, hoping there would be the exception. But things took an even stranger turn. Almost all the constellation was hidden from sight, the edges of the once beautiful formation barely visible past the marred cracked edges of the shade. Other Vasa lovers lamented along with me at missing the beautiful Tower of Light formation. We patiently waited for it to pass over, yet it seemed to linger. The day it should have crossed to another set of stars came and went, and still it stayed, like it deliberately wasn't moving. This is when I started to really pay attention. I would watch it almost every night, pen and journal always nearby, taking meticulous notes whenever I noticed anything that stood out. I wrote about the veiny edges, looking like they were bigger than the marred cracks of before. They would be different every night, like they crawled and pulsed on an enormous scale. The dulled edge started to become more prevalent, and though I couldn't confirm it, it felt like the middle was starting to stir, ever so subtly. I sensed rumblings that something big was about to happen. I could feel it. I started to get a little obsessed. I booked time off work to sleep all day, so that I could have more time to watch all night. I filled out many pages of my journal, just based on those few days alone. I'd watch for hours, an uneven strain in my eyes from staring for long periods of time. My cycle became routine. I'd watch, note, watch, note. Even when nothing changed, it'll still write as such. Then, boom. Literally, boom. A heavy thoom cracked down from the night sky. I heard concerned gasps from late night walkers nearby. The only thing felt was something akin to a fast gust of wind. And that was it. There was an air of hesitation, but there was no full-on panic. Except from me. Because what I saw shook me to my core. The orb blinked. As soon as I regained myself from the boom, I looked back through my telescope. It was gone. The orb was gone. Not just the orb as well, but the whole Vasa constellation. I went online to see if anyone else saw, but I couldn't find any new threads about it. I scrolled to find the old master posts about the phenomenon, but they were all gone. Nothing remained of the weeks of documenting and discussing the strange orb. I tried starting one, but it was quickly shut down. I checked other sites that I knew talked about it, and they too were gone. Nothing was reported on the news. I tried to message people that talked about it, but I could not find any of the old messages previously mentioned. Ross was completely gone. Whether it was because he was permabanned, I do not know. I found others, but they had no memory of who I was. I tried looking for Christian, and this is where things got even stranger. He was also gone. I dug around for his Facebook, but I couldn't find him on my friends list or previous contacts anywhere. All knowledge of the orb was gone, and no one remembered it. And it was the same for the Varsa constellation. Look it up. I've tried scouring the deepest pages of Google and cannot find any trace of it. I scanned all my books on the stars, and even there, all knowledge is gone. And what's worrying is that I have no memory of the orb or the constellation myself. All I've told so far has been construed from all the notes I've written. I've been going through my journals, piecing things together, and I keep digging further and further back and finding more things are missing. I can't actually remember Christian or Ross, but I wrote about them in detail in my journal. All the writing in a calm and neat fashion, looking like I did it in sound of mind. When I tried to think back to my favourite constellation, my mind jumps to Canis Major, but my notes all say it's Varsa. I've pulled out books from my teenage years and found, even then, I talk about Varsa like a comfort. Sketches of its formation, details of its coordinates, stories of its history. Yet, when I try to look, I see a void, a starless circle in the night sky. More worrying are the other spots of information missing from my mind. In my notes, I talk about stargazing with my brother. Nights out, just talking about the formations, the mythology of them. Yet, I know in my mind that I've always been a lone child. Cousins coming over that I have no knowledge of. Pages written by an aunt who in my mind doesn't exist. There's either a hole in the sky or a hole in my mind. And I'm scared of both. What I've told you may not be entirely accurate. I can never confirm what I truly saw, what I truly know, especially the end. The journey was detailed well, but the final page was hastily written in a rush that either blessed me with little detail or cursed me with a slight knowledge. All that truly remains of the end is the last page. 4 words scratched in so deep the paper was cut in several parts. Boom. I. Blink. Gone.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach integrier- und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.